Let's go. Okay, today we're doing the Chazon Ish, which isn't a bad time for people to join the Chug, since the Chazon Ish is really the father of Haredi life and Haredim as we know it. Okay, we'll start with a story. Rav Lichtenstein many years ago told us that he got involved somehow, and he was like in charge of some. They were supposed to be creating Haredi leaders, and so there was like a kolel of Avreichim who had been learning for 10 or 15 years. There was one guy who was like the smart guy and the wise guy. And so Rav Lichtenstein asked them each to write an essay on models of leadership. So the guy refused to do it. So Rav Lichtenstein said, like, why not? So he said, what do you mean, why not? Just be the Chazon Ish. So Rav Lichtenstein said, you think that the Rambam like spent his day the way the Chazon Ish spent his day? So the guy said, yeah. Okay, so obviously it's not true. The point of the story, the Rambam did not spend his day like Chazon Ish. The point of the story is that the Chazon Ish is like the final word in Haredi life. The Chazon Ish created Haredi Judaism. The Chazon Ish created Das Torah. And the Chazon Ish really is the person who even now gives the Haredi world like their sense of confidence. Now, by the way, the Chazon Ish was amazing. Like, it's all true. But we have to go through it a little at a time. Already?
Yeah. What about involvement in the government?
Yeah. Can I give a hug? Yeah. If I don't get there, you can ask me, but I'm going to get there. Okay. Chazon Ish is a pen name for the sefer that the Chazon Ish published early in his life and kept publishing more volumes of. Ish, as you hopefully could guess, is an acronym for Avram Yeshayahu, which is his name. Okay, but his sefer was so great, he became known simply as the Chazon Ish. Okay, easier to say what he wasn't than what he was. Okay, he never, ever learned in a yeshiva. He never, ever had a job. Not as a Rebbe, not as a Rosh Yeshiva, not as a Mashkiach, not as a communal Rav, nothing. He never belonged to any organization. Not as the president, not as the secretary, not as anything. He was never part of an organization. He never had an official smicha, or an unofficial smicha, I assume. Okay? And yet, he became the most important Haredi ever. Maybe ever. Certainly of his time, and maybe ever. Okay, how did he do it? He did it because of who he was, by the strength of his personality, and we'll discuss it. Let me give you a quote. Said the Chazon Ish, in the Kovetz Igros, the only pleasure for me is to fulfill the will of Hashem. I could suffer no greater hurt than to be ensnared by sin. Okay, you have to believe that that's what he meant. He was really that holy a person. That's what he was afraid of. Okay, the Chazon Ish, by dint of his personality, his learning, and who he was, he created a position in the Haredi world. That position is now known as the Gadol Ador, okay? And it's a real position, meaning in our world, you could argue whether we have a Gadol Ador. You know, the Rav certainly, well, okay, you could argue these things. In the Haredi world, you know, when Rav Steinman passes away, somebody gets the job. There could be a fight of it, but somebody gets the job, right? Who has the job now? No, Rav Steinman passed away.
Oh.
Huh? Rav Edelstein has the job now, okay? There is a Gadol Hador in a way that didn't exist before the Chazon Ish. Okay, just to give you like a family tree, the Chazon Ish had no children. But the Chazon Ish was the brother-in-law of the Stipler. And within his family comes the following people: Rav Shach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Elyashiv, Rav Steinman, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, obviously, the son of the Stipler. The Chazon Ish became the fulcrum for anybody who wanted to be the Gadol Hador after him. Okay? Now, let's talk about the Chazon Ish. He's born in Kosovo, which is in White Russia and Belarus, in the area that keeps getting traded around. He comes from real Yichus. His father was the Rav Arashi of Kosovo. He was a major Talmud Chacham. One of his brothers, his older brother, took over for his father. He became the Rav of Kosovo. He and his wife and his children were shot by the Nazis in 1942 in their house. Okay, hard to know how that plays out in his life, but it happened. His sister was married to the Stipler. That's how they're related. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim, but not a real Talmud. He didn't like Brisker Lumdus at all. So he's also not a fan of Musser at all. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, major story. In his late 20s, again, he's living in some little town in Europe. In his late 20s, the Chazon Ish accepts a shidduch with Basia. Why do you accept the shidduch? There's all kinds of weird things about it. Why do you accept the shidduch? The main thing seems to be that she promised him he'd never have to work his whole life, which she kept, right? She would support him. He could sit and learn. Okay. And by the way, he did. He learned every single day for the rest of his life. Now, yes?
When you say she would support him, does that mean she had a job?
Or yes, it means she had a job. Okay, now, the marriage, this is like a little bit getter lashon hara, but I think it's really important to understand. The marriage was not a happy one, not at all. A, there seems to have been some dishonesty in getting him to marry her, okay? But again, he didn't renege. I mentioned this before. A lot of times when you come to Gdolim, the shidduch part tells you a lot about them, okay? They never had any children. At some point, this is stuff that people wink about, but it's almost certainly true. At some point, the Chazon Ish thought to divorce her, right? For all kinds of reasons, the Chazon Ish thought to divorce her. And the story is that whatever town they were in Europe, so he told her he was going to divorce her, and she said, fine, but on the way to the Beis Din, I'm going to commit suicide. So the Chazon Ish decided not to divorce her. But the halacha is, if you think you're going to divorce your wife, you're usur aleha.
Oh.
And again, the word is that they never had relations again the rest of his life. Okay? Now again, it's not I'm not telling you this so that you know the facts. I'm telling you this because the Chazon Ish was the kind of person who was so frum that he's machmir. He had belibo to divorce his wife. So he never, ever was miyached with her the rest of his life. Because that's the halacha. That's a staggering thing. There's a way to find heterim for things like this. He wasn't interested in heterim. The Chazon Ish was a big machmir in general. But he's a big machmir because in his life, in his belief, in who he was, there was no reason to look for a heter. I think a lot of the positions of the Chazon Ish can be summarized in, it's hard to be Jewish. You're right, Either call it his theory of life is get over it, or suck it up, or something like that, where it's just, yes, it's really, really hard. But my feeling is, if he felt if he could do it, the rest of us can do it. I'm not so sure the rest of us can do it. He could do it. He did do it. I'm not so sure about the rest of us. But that's where every single thing in the Chazon Ish's life comes back to this theory of just suck it up. Yeah, people say in Yiddish, Shveretz Zayin Yid, it's hard to be Jewish. You'll be fine. Okay? It plays out in his Hashkafa also. There's a famous piece where he talks about what is bitachon. So how do we translate the word bitachon? Anybody?
Confidence.
Huh?
Confidence.
Confidence? Trust, hope, okay? So Rav Lichtenstein said there are two types of bitachon, right? One is, I have bitachon. What do I mean when I say I have bitachon? I believe God will help me. I believe if I daven enough, if I work hard enough, that God will help me. It's an optimistic form of bitachon. Said the Chazon Ish, it's wrong. In Emunah and Bitachon, the sefer that the Chazon Ish wrote, he said that belief, bitachon, is to understand that there's no coincidences in the world. God wants things to happen, so therefore they happen. But it's not because it's going to be good or it's going to be bad. It's going to be because that's what God wants. Okay? He didn't say to yourself, well, I have bitachon, she's going to recover. No, you tell yourself, I have bitachon. Therefore, whether she recovers or not is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not up to me. Okay? But it doesn't mean that God's going to work it out. Again, it's slightly depressing. Depressing is the wrong word, but it reflects, I think, the Chazon Ish's view of the world, which is, nobody promised you it would be fine. Our job is to work hard. Our job is to be Oved Hashem. However it works out, that's up to God. Okay. So more or less, the Chazon Ish at a young age is pretty much anonymous. He's just a guy who sits and learns. In 1911, the Chazon Ish publishes the first volume of the Chazon Ish. It's published anonymously, but people love the Sefer, and they quickly figure out who he is. Therefore, they start calling him the Chazon Ish, right? And he makes his reputation that way. After World War I, the Chazon Ish runs away to Vilna, where again, for 12 years, he sits mostly in poverty. To say that his wife supported him isn't really true, because they were incredibly poor. But he never worked, so in theory, she supported him. You know, he's pressured to start leading the community, but he doesn't want to. Okay, and he wants to make Aliyah, not because he's a Zionist, but because it's better in Israel. Okay, now, getting a visa at the time requires having a job in Israel. And the Chazon Ish is offered the job of basically the unofficial chief rabbi of the Eda HaCharedis. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was old. They were going to give him his job. The Chazon Ish said no. Bizarrely, it's Rav Kook who gets the Chazon Ish visa to Israel. I don't know how he did it, but Rav Kook brings him to Israel. Okay? Now, we have to think to ourselves, he moves to Bnei Brak. We have to ask ourselves, what does Bnei Brak look like at the time? And what does the Haredi world look like at the time? So what does Bnei Brak look like in the 1940s, 1930s? What does it look like? It looks exactly the opposite as it does today. It's literally a farming community. Okay? It's like the country. People live on farms. People work the fields. That's what Bnei Brak looks like. What does the Haredi world look like at the time? Nothing like today. It's a few hundred people. Okay, that's it. A few hundred people who lead a certain type of life. There's no movement. There's no political power. There's nothing to it. It's just, you know, it's kind of a way of life. Okay, the first thing the Chazon Ish does when he gets to Israel is to learn every single thing there is to know about Trumas u'Maisros. Literally. Every single thing there is to know, because he has to know how to be Mafresh Trumas u'Maisros. Before they even had, like, he's not of this world. Before they had an apartment to live in, he's sitting and learning Hilchos Trumas u'Maisros, because he has to know what to do. Okay, when they move to Bnei Brak, it's all of 9 years old. Bnei Brak was established 9 years before the Chazon Ish moved there. Okay, there's a bunch of farmers, not much more. Slowly, the Chazon Ish starts to make his reputation. Most people point the following case. It's called the milking case. Okay, again, he lives in a farming community. We all know it's usur to milk a cow on Shabbos. Okay, the best thing that Jews have going for them at the time is a heter to have a goy milk your cows for you. But the goyim, as the state came into view, the goyim were not reliable, and we were afraid of them. And it was you know, you aren't going to have Arab people come to your house to milk your cows. Okay? So the Chazon Ish was matir if they milked the cow, like, into the ground. So instead of having a bucket underneath the udder, everybody know how a cow's milked?
Yeah.
Okay. Udder is not just a month. Okay, fine. Okay. So what's your name? Sorry. Okay. Don't do that again. Okay, so basically the Chazon Ish found out that the people were cheating. And instead of milking their cows into the ground, they milked their cows into buckets and they saved the milk. Okay, so the Chazon Ish writes, I don't know, the very first Pashkevil ever.
Wow.
I don't know, something really big. What just happened?
I spilled the pint, Adar.
Oh. Okay, I'll tell you about complimentary peanuts after. It's the same idea. Okay, fine. So the Chazon Ish basically writes a Pashkevil saying, it's usur, you can't do it. And people continue to do it. And the Chazon Ish, like, brings pressure on them and moves the whole community and embarrasses people till they stop doing it. This is the Chazon Ish's, like, coming out party. This is the first time he takes a public position, and people recognize that living in there is not just the Gadol Hador, but a person who feels strongly and who's not going to allow Bnei Brak to be a place with Chilul Shabbos. Okay, that's really like the beginning of Bnei Brak, is the Chazon Ish saying, we're not letting anybody milk their cows on Shabbos. We're a firm community, and that carries on. Okay. There's a yeshiva called Tiferes Tzion, which they said was like under the supervision of the Chazon Ish. He wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva or anything like that, but it was founded in 1935. The Chazon Ish is under pressure now from Rav Chaim Ozer, from Rav Chanan Wasserman, to become the Gadol Hador. But he doesn't want to. But more or less by the early 40s, so this is right before the state is formed, he's more or less recognized as the Gadol Hador, and he starts building yeshivos for boys and for girls. He starts building mikvos. He starts building shuls. He basically reintroduces the idea of a kolel. There was not a single kolel in the land of Israel. In the land of Israel before 1948, in the state of Israel after 1948, because people worked. The Chazon Ish thought working was a waste of time. Okay? And so he builds a kolel. In 1936, the kolel Chazon Ish is founded. And in his opening speech, the Chazon Ish quotes the Rambam. It's the last halacha in Sefer Zeraim. It's really, really famous. Now, again, the last halacha in every Sefer in the Rambam is more or less philosophic. Everybody knows this. But the Chazon Ish quoted it lahalacha. Says the Rambam. Again, it's Perek Yud Gimel Halacha, Yud Gimel of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. You should know it because it comes up in every argument about man's purpose in the world. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad. Ela kol ish v'ish mikol bo'ei ha'olam. Asher nidavo rucho oto. Vehevinu mideya lihi bodel la'amod lifnei Hashem l'sharto ula avdo l'deyat Hashem v'halach yashar kimo she'asoho Elokim u'parak me'ol tzavaro ol ha'cheshbonot ha'rabim asher bikshu b'nei Adam. A person who chooses to be saintly, a person who chooses to dedicate his life to avodas Hashem and to only avodas Hashem, says the Ram, harezen nitkadesh kodesh kadashim v'yihiyah Hashem chelko v'nachalato lo'olam ulolmei olamim v'yizkelo bo'olam azeh davar ha'maspiklo. Somehow you'll be supported k'mo she'yizkela kohanim la'leviyim harei David olav ha'shalom omer Hashem menat chelki v'kosi ata tomich garoli. Right, so with the Chazon Ish, the Rambam Shita is anybody who can volunteer to be part of Shevet Levi, you'll get out of the army eventually, you'll get all these things, right? That's something you can do. It's not what the Rambam believes, not in any other place in the Yad HaChazakah. Here the Rambam is, you know, the Rambam is saying something aspirational, something inspiring, and something beautiful. But the Chazon Ish first, and then the Haredi community as a whole, any debate you ever have with Haredi about going to the army will come down to this Rambam. The question is this Rambam controlling or not? That's a different discussion. Okay. As the state is formed, the Chazon Ish becomes the person who decides, you know, kosher and treif, the person who decides, are we going to participate in the government? Are we not going to participate in the government? Everything comes to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was a kanai in spirit, if not in practice, meaning he had very harsh views and very strong views, but he often landed up compromising them because, you know, people need to live. The Chazon Ish said he'd rather have 400, it's a small number, 400 genuinely Orthodox Jews in Israel than to have a state, I think, of the type we have now, which is mostly Michal Shabbos and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? On Psak Halach, again, the Chazon Ish was a big machmir. Big fight between the Shir Chazon Ish and the Shir Chaim Na'a. That's what has these machlokes in Mano. You know, the Chazon Ish was a huge opponent of the Heter Mechira, although he had a lot of kulos within that, but he was a huge opponent of the Heter Mechira, and he wouldn't budge for anything. He did raise money for farmers to sit out Shemitah. If you weren't going to work all year, you needed money. So the Chazon Ish raised money for that. Okay. Another word on his hashkafa. He thought that a person grows through overcoming obstacles. Right? It's hard to be a Jew. It's true. It doesn't necessarily translate into chumros, although it often does. Right? He was against mussar. You know why? It's all in the doing. It has nothing to do with the being. Right? The Chazon Ish said, it doesn't matter that you feel. It doesn't matter it matters what you do. If you keep halacha, you're from. If you don't keep halacha, you're not from. And all the tricks and all the ideas behind it, it has no interest for him. Okay, let's move on to the state of Israel and the most famous story in the Chazon Ish's life. Yes?
Did he have an aleph on chassidut?
What?
Did he have an aleph on chassidut?
I think he didn't like it, but I don't know that much about it. Okay, the state of Israel is formed. The Chazon Ish's position is clear. It's not the aschaltu de geula. It is the end of the Golos. Okay, in between there is what the Chazon Ish really thinks, right? It's not like Mashiach, but it's the end of the Golos. So there is some value in it, although not a lot. Okay. He allows Aguda to be part of the government, but they can't be ministers. That's how it starts. Because if you're a minister, then you're responsible for the government. If you're just in the government, right? So, okay, you're getting money for your yeshivas and whatever. That's okay. But to take an active role was opposed by the Chazon Ish. In 1952, yes? Because when the government decides to allow Chilul Shabbos, he wants no part of that.
Wouldn't you want to say no?
Yes.
So what do you mean?
He doesn't. That's what I'm saying. He's a Kanai in spirit, but not really in practice. He realizes that there are things that the government has to do that he wants no part of. So his position is, I want no part of it. I'm not going to stop it necessarily, but I want no part of it. Okay? Okay, now you come in 1952 to the first real crisis, and that is the mandatory draft of girls into the IDF. Right? The Chazon Ish was, you know, out of his mind opposed to it.
And
what
was it?
52. Okay? It's a huge, huge fight. And again, Haredim are becoming more bigger.
Powerful?
They're becoming bigger in number.
Numerous.
They're growing. Okay, fine. So it's a huge fight. Now, imagine this. The Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, he's not just any Prime Minister, he's at the peak of his popularity. In order to meet the Chazon Ish to try to settle this issue, he goes to the Chazon Ish's house in Bnei Brak. Right? This is like the most famous Chazon Ish story, and it's all true. He, the Prime Minister of Israel, you know, travels to some like incredibly beaten down place without like four good chairs to meet the Chazon Ish. Now, there's a million stories about what happened in there. Almost all of them not true. There's the Haredi story that the Chazon Ish didn't wear his glasses so he wouldn't see the Russia. You know, there's this story that he just is deciding, you know, you have to serve some food for the Prime Minister, but he's not going to make a bracha. So he put the food like at the end of the table. It's all silly. It may have, you know, Chaim Navon, who later became president of Israel, was there. He was Ben-Gurion's secretary. And he gives us the definitive story of what happened. Okay? Here's what happens. The Chazon Ish quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis, that tells the story of there's two camels, right? One is laid down with like all the stuff that it's carrying, and one has nothing on it. And they both come to like a narrow bridge. Who goes first? So the Gemara says, the camel that's carrying a lot of stuff goes first. Says the Chazon Ish, we are carrying thousands of years of Judaism on our shoulders. We go first. Okay? So says, so Ben-Gurion says to him, is bringing immigrants to the land of Israel, is settling the land, is protecting the land, is that worth nothing? So the Chazon Ish said to him, that's all in our zchus. Our Torah is allowing you to do that. So, you know, Ben-Gurion tries again, and the Chazon Ish again basically says, it's all us. And the argument never gets settled. Basically, that argument is continuing till today, right? Who should yield to the others? I don't know that the Chazon Ish would be proud of Aryeh Deri. You know, I hope he wouldn't, but I don't know. That's a debate that's going on now. He's the head of the Shas party, who the Supreme Court, huh?
Deri is the former head of the Shas party. No,
he's the head of the Shas party. He's no longer a minister in the government. The Supreme Court doesn't control who runs a political party. The Supreme Court can just say, you can't be a minister. Now, let me just say this. This is interesting because it's happened already. The Chazon Ish ruled, you can't be a minister. Okay? In the last government, Litzman, who's a Haredi, he's a Gerer, was, so what did they do? Oh, so what Haredi did when they got ministries was they became the assistant, right? And there was no head. Okay? So what happened was, I think it's, who's that at the opposition now? Come on. You guys know anything? Huh? Lapid. So Lapid sued to say you can't leave the position of minister open. Every ministry needs a minister. So fine. So the Gedolim of nowadays told Litzman, fine, you could be a minister. And that's how the whole thing went away. Right? It was like we were going to get them. That's how the whole thing went away. So now Derry's supposed to be two ministers. He's also convicted twice, which is nice the way it works that way. Okay, but so that's how they fixed that. Okay. Das to, yeah?
Doesn't that uproot the entire philosophy of what the Chazon Ish is trying to say about how you should lead your life in terms of not try to work around all these...
I didn't say that. You said that. Huh?
Yeah, I think you said that.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the fact. Okay? Now, let's move on to something else, which is really, really important. Yeah?
Harry Derry's birthday is in 3 days. Ooh, what's the yeshiva doing?
That's fantastic.
We're
going to go away for Shabbos to celebrate. But remind us on Shabbos that we should celebrate. Okay? Das Torah. Das Torah started with the Chazon Ish. Again, there were ideas like Das Torah before, but the Chazon Ish started. What's Das Torah? So everybody knows, you know, is the meat treif or kosher? You go to a posek. He tells you, right? Can I use a Shabbos clock on Shabbos? You go to a posek. Can I do all? Those are halachic questions. But who said that a posek decides whether girls could go to the army? Is that really a halachic question? So the Chazon Ish is like closest Talmud wrote to him. We don't have the Talmud's letter. We have the Chazon Ish's response. But basically, he must have said, these aren't halachic questions, you know, they're all against you. Why don't you sit this one out? And the Chazon Ish basically called him an apikoros. He's like, what? There's two different Torahs? There's, you know, so somebody said to Chazon Ish, where's the halacha that a girl can't serve in the IDF? So the Chazon Ish wrote back saying, it's in the fifth chalak of Shulchan Aruch. There are no five chalak of Shulchan Aruch, there are only four. The Chazon Ish said the fifth chalak is given to poskim, is given to gedolim. And I know what it says. And it says that girls can't serve in the army. And he was serious about it. From this, the idea of Das Torah started, which is halacha is not limited to halacha. Halacha is limited to who I marry and what job I take and where I live and maybe, you know, what color I paint my bedroom. There's nothing that's not part of halacha, and there's nothing that a posek doesn't have insight into. It's a huge, huge jump in how we think of halacha, right? But the whole community bought it. And it's the way that the community operates now. Every single decision is made by the posek, by the Gadol Hador. Okay? Now, again, as I said before, he allowed Charedim to participate in the government, and he was very much against violence. He thought that a person who was violent to other people probably has a din of a rodef. He was not opposed to yeshivas receiving government funding, so long as the government had no say in the curriculum of the yeshiva. That's pretty important. Because the super, super Charedim said, we're not taking any government money. Right? And the Turi Karta and people like that still don't take any government money. But the Chazon Ish took an in-between stance, which is you could take government money, but the government can't tell you what to teach. So Chinuch Atzmai, for example, now, it takes government money, but it rejects government leadership and, you know, there's fights from time to time about what they're doing and what they're teaching. Okay? The Chazon Ish's real legacy is Das Torah, but more than that, the Chazon Ish's legacy is the strength of the Haredi community. He, as an individual, gave them the self-confidence to be who they are, to oppose the state, to oppose modern Orthodox Jews, to oppose Chilonim. He really gave them the self-confidence to build a community. And the way we see the Haredi community now, which is fully formed and almost a dominant force in Israeli politics, it's not how it was in the Chazon Ish's life, but it's what the Chazon Ish started. And again, you know, if you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and then you go to then you go to the other Gedolim, they're all basically related to the Chazon Ish, and they're all kafuf to a meaning. If you said to somebody, how are you against the Chazon Ish, he would have to explain himself away, because the Chazon Ish was and continues to be the dominant force in the Haredi world. Shkach.